Very blessed good morning to you in the name of the Lord. When Reverend Lim, your pastor, called me, invited me to speak on the 1st of September because he has to go overseas, I accepted the invitation. So I asked him, do you have any message? He says, well, it's a teacher's day. So he wants me to give a teacher's day message. Just now when Elder Prakash asked the teachers to stand, I look around. There are only a handful of you. So today, maybe you think I'm speaking to you, okay? But I'm not. I'm speaking to all of you. Because I believe with all my heart, every one of you here is a teacher. Maybe you don't agree with me, but I tell you, what is a teacher? What is your definition of a teacher? A teacher teaches, right? Do you teach? Do you teach your children? You do. So you are a teacher. For the moms, you teach your daughter to cook. You do? You are a teacher. Okay? So everybody, most of all, if not, I believe none of you is excluded. Even the youngsters. You teach your little, maybe your elder, your younger brother or sister, how to count. Well, you are a teacher. Okay? So this is for all of us. The Word of God says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord, okay, and not unto men. In the Old Testament, the equivalent is found in Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Before we go further, let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts are thankful to thee for loving us, saving us, and making us thy children indeed. Protecting us, giving us good health, blessing us, granting us safe journey to thy house to worship thee this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day that thou hast made, for good health that has given to us, for this freedom we can come, for this house that has given to thy people, and above all for thyself, that thou hast gathered us together in the name of thy beloved Son, to worship thee, adore thee, praise thee, for thou art worthy. Lord, open our understanding as we look into thy word. Thou speak to us that we may be a better Christian this week than we were before last week. Help us to love thee, to love thy word, to love souls, to be a light for thee, wherever thou hast put us in. And now, Lord, help thy worthy servant as he shares thy truth, that thou cleanse him from all his sins in the blood of Christ, hide him behind the cross, and pray that thy spirit will speak to all our hearts. We thank thee, praying us all this in Jesus Christ, most holy and precious name. Amen. Right, a teacher teaches, a coach coaches, an instructor instructs, a trainer trains. But in fact, they're all teachers. Okay. Sometimes we think teaching is very tough. It is. I tell you, it is. If you go to school today, you find that you are not only a teacher, you are all rolled into one. You are a nurse, you are an administrator, you are a timekeeper, you know. Sometimes you are a counselor, you are a peacemaker, whatever it is. I think one brother in my church says, in fact, we do a lot of things other than teach. Sometimes we call for meetings that does not involve teaching at all, you know. I believe some of you are teaching in schools. Today, the teaching is different from my days when I was a teacher. Okay? I thank God that I was a teacher for 18 years and I enjoyed every minute of it until the last year. Then I quit it because I became very frustrated. Okay? It wasn't because of the student. It was rather because of my principal. He made me the discipline master of the school. Don't laugh. I'm so short. My students are taller than me, some of them. And I taught a very bad class. So I had to stand in front of my class. Because if I stand behind, nobody could see me. Because all the tall students were taller than me. And my principal says, okay, I make you the discipline master of school. So I say, okay, thank you. And there was one boy in a very bad class. Last time we have got extended class, you know, now no more. Okay, we got 5 extended, 6 extended, 7 extended, 8 extended, primary 8. You never heard of it, right? Primary 8. Okay. And this boy was in extended class. He was very, very stubborn and very, very naughty. So this English teacher who was pregnant taught that class. And she asked this boy a question. This boy refused to answer her. And he refused to stand up. So she walked near to him, and guess what he did? You would never believe what he did. He boxed the teacher in the tummy. The poor teacher cried and cried and cried. And she came to the common room and she was crying because it was painful. And she was so scared that she would lose her baby. And I asked her, what happened? She told me. I went to the class. I said, who is that? So everybody pointed to this boy and said, you come here. Okay? I said, tomorrow, during assembly, I'm going to cane you in front of the whole school. Wow. And I'm going to tell the school what you did. My principal heard about it. Then he told me, he said, did you say this? I said, yes. And he said, okay. Then he called the boy down. The boy came with the class monitor and the principal talked to him. And I was in the common room marking my books. And you know what this boy did? This boy came up to me and said, Mr. Yong, you cannot cane me anymore. I was so shocked. I said, what do you say? He said, the principal tell me to tell you that you cannot cane me anymore. I said, why? He didn't say anything. You know, I was so surprised that the principal talked to him and said, what you did was very bad, you know. So just go and say sorry to the teacher. That was first time. I took it and said, okay, it's out of my hand, you know, it's a principal. The second time involves my class students. 5 of them. They stole something from the bookshop. The bookshop lady came up to my class and said, sir, your students stole my things. I said, what? I said, okay, you find out who are the students. So she pointed out 5 boys. And the 5 boys came out. I said, what do you steal? The first boy said, I did not steal anything. I said, look, the lady stood in front of class and looked over all 40 of you. Why did she pick 5 of you? Why didn't she pick the others? So she must have known that you have taken something. What did you steal? She said, I did not steal anything. No? I lost my cool, I slapped him. And he said, I stole a pencil. Then I came to the second boy, he also denied saying that he stole. Well, I slapped him also. He said, I stole a ruler. The third one did not wait to get slapped. He said, I stole an eraser. You know? So I asked the lady, how much did you lose? She said, $12. That was a lot of money, you know, in that time, $12. That was way back in 1972, or 73, I'm not sure. Okay. No, sorry, it was in 1981, I quitted, 1981. 1982, I quitted. That was in 1982. Okay. And so I told the student, okay, 12 divided by 5, each of you must pay $240. $2.40, bring $2.40 and pay to the bookshop lady. My principal heard about that also. Call the 5 boys down. Talk to them. Then you know what he said? He said, you don't have to punish them. I have already punished them. So I asked the student, what did Mr. Low, that's the principal's name, what did Mr. Low say to you? I got a shock when I heard the reply. He said, we don't have to return the money. We just give back the pencil, the ruler, the eraser, and say sorry to the lady. In my heart, I was thinking, hey, Mr. Low, you're trying to turn them into thieves, you know. If they can steal things and escape without being caught, that means okay. If they are caught, they just return whatever things they've stolen and say, I'm sorry. I got very, very frustrated. So I quitted. I sent in the letter, I quitted. I said, I resigned. He asked me, why? I said, I don't think I can teach anymore. You know? I mean, the students have become so bad, and you don't want me to discipline them, and you have given me the title of a discipline master, so I think it's not right. So I left. Okay? A lot of them asked me, why don't you ask for transfer? Yeah, maybe I should have, like, you know. If I had asked for transfer, maybe I won't be speaking to you today, because I will still be a teacher, you know, if I had continued on, because I love teaching. I had a great time being a teacher. When the first time when I went into teaching, the parents were totally different from the parents that you are facing now. Okay? Because I know my wife is still teaching. When she fell and when we went to China for a missionary trip, she twisted her ankle and I took over her job. I was the relief teacher. I took over her class. And she was teaching another class, which was rather bad. You know? So I saw the students that they were not like the students that I taught. Because during my time, the parents trusted the teacher. They gave us canes, you know. They brought canes for us to cane the students. Today, you are not allowed even to scold them. You call them stupid. The next day, you get ministry officer coming to your school and talking to your principal. And your principal call you out and say, why you call the students stupid? You know? Maybe you have to learn reverse psychology. You shouldn't say stupid, you should say not smart. Yeah, you are not smart, you know. They don't like to hear the word stupid. They don't like to hear the word you are slow, you know. You know nothing, you know. So now teaching is so different from my time, because during my time, the students were very afraid of us. Today, I believe with all my heart, students are not afraid of teachers anymore because they got the parents to back them up. Once I went to relieve a primary six class, okay, in my wife's school, there was a boy there who was very disruptive. He didn't want to do his work. He was making a lot of noise. I told him, you better keep quiet. Okay? Don't test my patience. I may be small, you know, but I can be very fierce if I want to. I'm going to slap you. You know what he did? He said, I'm going to tell my mother. Wow. I said, you go. Because I'm a relief teacher, tomorrow I won't come. He kept quiet. I won. Sometimes, I don't know, we have to use God's wisdom to deal with them. And it is the parents, actually. Our parents, don't take this offense, okay? Sometimes we are at fault because we encourage our students, okay, to go against the teachers. Okay? You lose some marks. You ask the teacher, you know, if you can give some marks to my students, to my son, to my daughter, and so on. Okay? But today it's so different. Okay? That's why a lot of teachers resign. I don't know if you know this, at one stage, okay, Woodbridge has the most teachers, you know. You won't believe it. Okay? Woodbridge has a lot of teachers who are stressed out, who broke down and so on. And some of them came back to teach. They were very different. Okay? Because of the stress. Okay? Today, teaching is a very stressful job. Okay? Maybe by the grace of God, you can go through, but still as stressful. That's why we need to go to the Lord for help. Okay? The Lord is very good. Every morning before you go to school, commit your day to the Lord. Okay. Tell the Lord what you want to do. And ask the Lord for grace or wisdom to guide you. And He will. Okay. And you'll find that it is so different, okay, from the days you forget to ask the Lord to help you. Okay. So if you are a teacher, okay, or if you are in any other job, I would advise you not to take it as a job, but to look upon the job as a ministry. If you think you're an accountant, don't say, I'm an accountant, this is my job. No, no. Tell yourself, this is my ministry. God has called me to be an accountant. God has called me to be a teacher. God has called me to be a clerk. Okay? This is my ministry. If you take your job as your ministry, one, you know it is God's calling. Okay? Two, you enjoy it. Okay? Three, you give your best to it. Give of your best to the master. And the Bible tells us, whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord, not unto men. Okay? You don't please your boss. You know, we have a God to answer to. Okay? We do it to please God. Okay? Maybe other people think, you know, when you do your best, some people think you're trying to curry favor with the boss to get promotion and so on. Okay? And maybe this will put you off and say, I better don't work so hard, you know. People may not like it. It may create jealousy and so on. I think you shouldn't have that kind of thought. You should tell God, I'm doing this for you, Lord. I'm doing this for you. You've called me to do this, I'm doing it for you. And I put all my heart into it. Okay? That's why when I go to school to teach, you know, I always smile. And one teacher, so happened, that morning he told me, he said, hey, Mr. Yong, you look very cheerful, you know. Every morning I see you smile. It's a great encouragement to me. Yeah, I think people need encouragement. Sometimes we have no words to encourage them, but by our body language, we can encourage them. Smile. Enjoy your work, you know. Laugh. Right? If you enjoy your work, you'll be happy. Okay? And you find that time actually passes very quickly. Okay? If you enjoy your work. If you take it as a job, I tell you, when Monday comes tomorrow, when you go to work, you say, wow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then Friday, oh, you begin to smile Friday, because Saturday is off, Sunday is off. But you come back to Monday again, you go through the same cycle. Why? Is this the kind of life you want to live? You know? Even though the job may pay you very well, I don't think you like it, right? If you enjoy your work, if you say, this is my ministry, okay, you find that no matter what the pay is, you enjoy it because you are doing it for God. Okay. Whatever thy hands find to do, do it with all thy might. Some people are very calculative and say, the boss pay me only so much work, so much money, so I give him so much work. As if we can count, you know, the amount of work to the amount of pay that goes with it. To the Christian, it is not. Okay? Even if the job pays you $500, which is no more, now the minimum rate is $1,000. You know, when I started teaching way back in 1965, You know what was my pay? $190. $190. But you tell me, well, that time money is big, you know. 5 cents you can get drink. Yes, 5 cents you can get drink. Today is a dollar. You know? I remember 10 cents you can get a bowl of mee. 10 cents. Way back. But then you say, now the bowl of mee costs $3. $2.50. But you must know that time our mee are not like now, you know. Maybe now, modern, you get big, round mee. Last time the mee were real skinny. And they were not a lot, you know, for 10 cents, I tell you, because they had to make profit. Full of water. Yeah. With a few strands of mee, but that's the cheapest you can get. Okay? It's not really that cheap, you know. Okay? That was 190. The second year, the ministry just gave you miserly $10 increment, $200. Third year, 210. And after you qualified from the TTC, they give you $312. I don't know why 12. Why don't they give 15 or 20 or 10? 12, you know. $312. You know? Then after that, every year you get maybe $50 increment. That was miserly. When I quitted my job, I got about $800 after teaching 18 years in the service. $800. Okay. It's not much of a money, but it's not the money that attracts me to teaching. Okay. It's my passion for it. It's my love for the children, for the job that God has given to me. Okay. And when I came to know the Lord truly as a Christian, okay, I started to tell Bible stories to my children. I thank God that He gave me good classes. Very smart students, and you know they do their work very fast, and they've got time. And whenever they have time, I tell them, you want to listen to stories? And children say, yes. So I tell them the story, Bible stories. I tell them the creation and everything. It so happened one time I taught a primary 4 class, maths, which is not my class. I told them about sin. How Adam sinned. And, you know, two little girls started crying, you know. She said, what will happen to my grandmother? She doesn't believe, you know. What happened to my mother? They'll go to hell. And so they cry and cry and cry. And my period was over. I walked out of the class. The teacher came back and saw the two girls crying. And asked them, what happened? They said, don't know, Mr. Yong told a story. Then it came to me, you know. He said, why my girl's crying? I said, I don't know, I told them a story. He said, your story very moving, huh? Even this 10 years old girl, could see the reality of sin and could feel for her parents, her grandparents, who are not Christians. You know? Amazing. And today, I thank God that this girl is now a Christian. Her mother is safe. The mother passed away, but she died as a Christian. Okay. And her grandmother, there was no news about her, and so on. Okay. Today, you can't preach the gospel in the school anymore, the teachers, because of the white paper. Okay. Because they are afraid you may create a lot of racial tension, and so on. I believe if a child becomes a Christian, the child will be very well behaved, will not give problem to the teachers, will obey the school rules, and so on. In fact, a lot of my students, actually, when I taught them, they refused to go for recess. You know, they rather stay back for the 20 minutes to listen to my gospel story. Not once, you know, every day of the week. Until the end of the year. They love it so much, I say, hey, why don't you read the Bible? They say, what is that? I say, it's a book. They say, we don't know. So I went down last time to Katong Shopping Center. There was a book room there. They sell Bible. It only cost $1. $1 a Bible. Maybe you have it. It's a yellow color one. Very thick one, you know. Small size. I bought and I carry the boxes back. And I give them. You know, amazing when they read it. Fantastic. They question each other, you know, when they line up to go home before the bell rings. Then I found out that Scripture Union sold these tiny little booklets for 10 cents, you know, where all the Bible verses were written. Okay? So I bought that and gave to every one of them. Okay? Wow, they read it every time when they finish their work and so on. Even when they're lining up, they don't talk, you know, they just read the Word of God. Okay? And when they go home, they line up outside the classroom. I overheard one of the boys asking the other, what is John 17, 17? They read it and they memorize. Thy word is truth. Wow. 12 years old. Today, some of them are attending my church. And their parents. Okay? And this man said, this is my teacher. The boy looked at me and said, are you sure you're my father's teacher? Because his father's so much taller than me. I said, yes, I'm your father's teacher. I said, wow. It is a very rewarding job, a teacher. Very rewarding. These are, you know, results that money can't buy. So if you are a teacher, give your best to the students. One, they will remember you. They'll remember you. My students still come back and see me. Some of them still remember my birthday. Every year they send me birthday cards. You know? I never ask for it. Every time I see the handwriting, I know who is it. Yes. These are the rewards of being a good teacher. If you are a teacher that always scold and scold and scold, the children will in a hurry to get rid of you. They don't like this kind of teacher. We have to look at the Lord, who is the best teacher of all. You know, He knows His subject very well. He knows His audience or His students very well, right? And He teach words of life. Okay? So when we teach, it's more than teaching them how to count. You know, okay? It's to prepare them for life ahead. Okay? Yes, you have to teach them how to do maths. Yes, how to write good English and so on. But it's more than that. It's to prepare them to face life. Okay? And what's the best life they can have? It is to become a Christian. To become a child of God. Maybe now you say, I have no chance now to bring the gospel to them. I still believe there is. Because I think 2 years back when I went back to do relief teaching, when I was teaching a class of maths, then one girl started bringing up her religion. She talked to me. So I talked to her about Christ. And that got her very interested. And she kept on asking, you know, about Jesus Christ. So I told her, and one of her friends wanted to pull her away and say, shh, go away, I want to listen. Yeah. If you really commit to the Lord and ask Lord for opening, He will give it to you. My wife, she's still teaching. She can't bring the gospel. So now, every Christmas, we'll throw open our house and she invite all her students to my house and I'll preach the gospel to them. Okay. So far, nobody has gone back to complain. Nobody. Thank God. You know. So you can invite your students to your house. Okay. Share with them the word of God. Tell them the meaning of Christmas. Why we celebrate Christmas. Then plant the seed into their lives. They will remember. I know one student of mine. Everywhere I go, I met him. He's so happy that he's a Christian. He'll bring me along, you know. And he'll say, this is my teacher who brought me to Jesus Christ. Wow. You know. It gives me a great satisfaction. That class was actually a wonderful class. When one of the class girls got married, she invited me. I went to the wedding at Guildford Life. He attended Guildford Life. You know what the husband told me? He said, thank you for teaching my wife and leading her to know the Lord. These are things that, you know, really encourage you to go on teaching. So don't be disheartened if you have no maybe opportunity to share the gospel. You can by your life. By your life. You teach, you give out your best to the students. You speak to them in a way that the other teachers don't do that. You show your patience towards them. You show your love, your kindness, your willingness to help. You treat them as a human being. Yeah, sometimes you get very frustrated with them and so on. Yesterday I was reading my wife's minutes of the meeting. And I laughed when I read one section. I said, "What's so funny?" I said, "Look, this teacher asked a whole class, who wants to get stamp, the VIP stamp? I don't know what's that, you know. A card, you know, to get a stamp." And he said, nobody wanted, except for one boy. And this boy turned out to be the worst in the class. Never does his homework. Very untidy in his work and so on. And he was the one that came up and asked the teacher to stamp. And thank God this teacher was a Christian. Actually, he wanted to reject him, you know. But he was so keen, so it's still a great stamp for him. Okay? Then he told the class, he said, "Look, he may be careless, he may be very weak and so on, but he's willing to learn." Okay? Okay? You see, he gave them an example. Okay? He showed them that he cared for this person. The other teacher, I think, would not care about him. Okay? So if you have no opportunity to preach the gospel, right, then leave the gospel in front of them. Leave it out in your life. Tell them. Maybe one day they come up to you and say, you know, "Teacher, why you're different from other teachers?" That's an opportunity to tell them the gospel. Okay. Tell them, "I'm different because I have a God that makes me different. Okay. That makes me a new creature. If not for this God, I would have become like other teachers, scold you, you know." Yeah. And so on. So God will open doors for us if we are faithful to Him. Yes, in the office it's the same thing, you know. You give out your best, people look at you and say, "You are different, you're out of this world, you know. You are unique." That's what the Lord says, "Let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who art in heaven." Because the parents trusted me so much, they never complained. I didn't know of this incident until this girl, she's 42 years old now, she came back to church and find me. And then I went out to the coffee shop, had a drink with her, and she told me this. I like to tell them about rapture, about the second coming of the Lord. So I told them, you know, I said, "Yes, you study, but don't study so hard. The Lord can come anytime. You know, so you don't have to take your PSLE." Wow, this little girl literally managed, you know. Went home and tell the mother, "Hey, Mr. Yossi, we don't have to take the PSLE. Jesus is coming again." And the mother is not a Christian, you know. I say, "Oh boy." But the mother knows me. The mother knows that, well, no, I'm a good teacher. I won't tell nonsense to her kids. And this little girl has a brother who has a classmate, and now the classmate is one of the ministers in Mr. Lee Hsien Loong's cabinet, Mr. Chan Chun Sing. He was our student, our school student, but he wasn't taught by me. Okay. I never had a chance, opportunity to teach him, but I taught his sister. Elder sister. And it was a joy to teach them because they were so bright. I thank God that God gave me bright students, but then one day God gave me one class that was really bad. Really, really bad. So bad until the Chinese teacher told me, "Your class hopeless. Teach them also don't know." So he didn't teach, you know. When his period, he sat in the common room and drink coffee. I said, "Hey, it's your period now, you know." He said, "Aiya, no use. If I go there, also no use." I teach them, also no point. They won't understand. I got so sore with him. I went out to the class and said, look, fellows, your Chinese teacher gave up on you. I said, you better work hard. I can help you, but I don't know Chinese. I say, I can teach you in the other subjects. I will work hard for you, but you have to work hard. They really slaughtered. Nobody gave them a chance, you know. You know, out of 39 of them, 26 of them passed their PSLA. I was so happy for them. I was so sad for the others. They didn't make it. It was a real bad class. I told them, don't depend on your Chinese teacher anymore. He gave up on you already. Because he said, you fellas are hopeless. Show him that you can do it. Okay. So if you show your compassion to them, they will remember you. They remembered me. Okay. I thank God for this opportunity he has given to me to teach a bad class. That was the first time I taught a bad class, a really bad class. I almost gave up on them. Can't write. Very untidy. English, I is all the time. I told them I am. Still put I is. You know, in their composition. Last time we write composition in sentences, you know, primary 3, 4, 5. Even primary 6, they only write 80 words. Today you have to write at least what, 250 words. I tell you, my children at that time, now writing the composition can never make it. How do they get that 80 words? Some of them repeat again and again. That class, you know, I went to see the doctor. Oh. I said, how many times you see the doctor? One time enough. He said, teacher must make 80 words there. I tell you, you don't know whether to laugh or to cry, you know, or to sit, look at him and say, you know, just give up. But you have to go on teaching him, you see. Thank God some of them are successful. Some of them are really successful. They are businessmen today, you know. I can't imagine them being businessmen when I taught them. I say, if they tell me I want to be a businessman, I will say, you know, good luck to you. You get swindled. You don't know how to count. They must have been very shrewd, no, in order to be successful businessmen. They must be able to write, you see, to make business, to get business and so on. So never underestimate your students. Never underestimate them. Bring out the best in them. Do your best for them. That's the best we can do. Leave the rest to God. Pray for them that they will come to know Jesus. Okay? Because there was one class I taught, there was one boy in my class. He always come out with his monkey God theory. When I said Jesus is our Savior. He said, no, my monkey God is stronger than your Jesus. And he was in primary 6, you know. Every time I tell them about Jesus, he will come up with his monkey God. With his monkey God. He's the only one in the class that did not accept Jesus as a Savior. As his Savior. But you know something marvelously happened? He got saved, you know. I don't know when he got saved. And I met him. He's an engineer now with SMRT. I met him one day, he told me this. He said, Mr. Yong, I want to share with you some good news. I said, what? He said, first, I'm a Christian. I said, praise the Lord. He said, you know something very strange happened? I said, what is it? He said, I was studying for my exam in NUS one night. And God spoke to me. His name is Wilfred. He said, Wilfred, go back home. Bring the gospel to your grandmother. She's very sick. Straight away, he closed his books, you know, and he went home. He did not ask God why. He was very obedient. Straight away, he closed his books. He went home. He told his grandmother. That's what he shared with me. He said, Grandma, I got something to share with you. Okay? I want you to come and believe in Jesus and trust him as your Savior. He may be able to heal you of your sickness, or he may not heal you. But whatever it is, you must come and put your trust in him. And you know, amazing thing, the grandmother accepted Jesus that night. 2 days later, the grandmother died. Okay. Wow. You never know when a child will believe. Just plant the seed. God will take care of the rest. I didn't know when he became a Christian, but he shared with me this. I praise God, you know, that he was in my class. Although he came out with his monkey God theory, I didn't put him down. You know, sometimes children get very sore when you put them down. You know, they, no, your monkey God is a fiction, it's rubbish. You know? They get hurt because to them it's their God. You see, okay? Don't speak bad about their God, whether their God is real or not. Just tell them, you know, in time you will know, okay, that Jesus is best for you. So he got saved, and his grandmother got saved, and his sister got saved, and his mom got saved. So through one, God can bring in the family. So don't be discouraged if your students say, ah, like Jesus, same like other gods. You know? Don't worry. God will vindicate himself. We just do our part. Just share what we know. Do our best for them. Be a good teacher to them. Teach them the best of your ability. But we must know our subject well in order to teach them well. So we need to study. We need to learn. We need to ask God for grace and wisdom to know how to present ourselves, our work to them. To show them that we care for them, that we are different from other teachers. We are not proud. We are just doing what God wants us to do. He put us in the school for a purpose. You know, God makes no mistakes. Okay? He puts you in the office, not because you applied for the job there. No. It's God who puts you there. Take it as a ministry from God, that you are to shine for him in that place. Okay? Now, ask him what he wants you to do. Then do it, you know. Regardless of what people say, you know, they like to talk bad about you behind their back. Let them. You can't stop their mouth, you see. If they want to think bad about you, you can't stop their thinking, their thoughts. You just do with a clear conscience to please God. Tell God, whatever I do, I must do it heartily, with all my heart, to you, God, to you. Not to anybody else, not to men, not to my supervisor, not to my boss. Not even to myself, you know, but God, it is to you that I'm doing this. And then you just go on doing it. And you get the joy out of it. Okay? The best is you get the thrill out of your job, what you're doing. Okay? You may be sitting at a computer every day and type the computer. To you, maybe it's very boring, you know. But you ask the Lord, you find that, you know, you find that it is a thrill. Your fingers will just fly over the keyboard. Literally. You really enjoy it. Okay. If you are a parent, well, you can be a good teacher to your children. Teach them the word of God. Tell them bedtime stories, Bible stories. I told my children, four of them, Bible stories every night when they go to sleep until I ran out of Bible stories. And I have to create, not Bible stories, I create my own stories to bring some Bible themes into it, you know. And I was so glad one day when I went up to Kuala Kangsar, one of the brothers said, I still remember what you shared with us. You used to tell your children Bible stories before they go to bed. I hope he will do this to his children now. He has two kids now. So when we teach others, let's not forget our own children. Okay? We have to teach them in the right way. Don't teach other students to come to know Jesus and then neglect your own children. They don't know Jesus. That's very sad. Okay? Our first priority must be to our own children. Teach them the word of God. Okay? Instruct them in the way of righteousness. Spend time with them. Okay? Fathers, do our duty. We are supposed to be the head of the home. Okay? Never mind if you are not a Bible scholar. Don't let that hinder you. Go and read up the Bible and share with what you have read to your children. Share your experience as a Christian to your children. Share your God with them. Let them know that you have a real God. I share with my children how God blessed me in KL Mission. Did I share with you how we bought KL Mission? KL Mission was a branch of Jesus' mission. Okay? They had no building and they had the meeting hall on the second floor. So they had to climb two flights of steps up to the hall to worship God. And it's very dimly lit, it's very steep. So the old folks don't want to come because they got knee problem. They can't climb. I told the Lord, they want to come and worship you, God, but they cannot climb up the stairs. I need a place for them. I need a ground floor. So my missioner brought me around, you know, to visit the old folks and all that. And every time I see new places coming, I say, wow, how nice if God can give us a place like that. Then in my back of the mind, I was thinking, yeah, where to get the money to buy, you know. Yeah, God can give. Where to get money to buy? So I thought, well, yeah, right. And they are not cheap. Then one day, one brother came back and said, hey, Brother Matthew, there's a shop there, you know, it caught fire. And outside put for sale. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah. So I called the missionary, I said, go and see the place. And she saw it was a ground floor. I said, okay, let's buy the place. I told her, let's buy the place. You know, in Jesus' mission, before you do anything, you have a council meeting. And you must bring forward your ideas. Then they will discuss. I didn't bring up my idea. I just told my missioner, go and buy. No money, you know. So she went and she looked around the place. She came back and said, nice place. I said, okay, we buy. It so happened that there was another party who was interested in the place. And this person was a printer. And along the, actually the Pudu area, printing is very popular. It's a lucrative business. Every corner you go, there's a printing shop. In fact, along our church there, there are three printing shops, you know, side by side. Business was so good, that guy wanted to buy, and he told my missionary, said, don't bother to look, we have already bought the place. Thank God, the seller was there. The seller told her, no, I have not sold to anybody. But the person who pays me the deposit first will get the place. My missionary was so happy. I called me out. I said, how much? She said, they need 20,000 ringgit. I said, you have or not? She said, yes, our church has. So I said, okay, go. She was so excited. Early in the morning, she waited outside the office door, you know, for this seller to come. And praying that the guy won't turn up, like, you know, the other party. And true enough, when the seller came, the other party didn't turn up. Maybe they got lost or something like that. I don't know. And so she gave him the check of $20,000. And she said, okay, the building is yours. Wow, she was so happy. She came back and said, oh, we have paid the deposit already. So I told my pastor. I said, pastor, we got a place for KL. Now come the payment. I said, how much? 980,000 ringgit. I don't have money. So I tell the church, I say, look, KL has found a place. They need this amount of money. I say, okay, you can loan it or you can give it. The next thing I saw, I couldn't believe my eyes. My wife was so amazed. The whole church queued up to pay me check. You know? The whole church, you know, lined up to hand me checks to buy the place. I collected 400 over thousand Sing dollars. The exchange rate was 2.1 at that time. You know, amazingly, we had just enough to pay for the building. We bought it. And now come the repayment. It's easy to get money, you know, right? You come out and say, I need some money. Can you loan? Of course, you'll come out and loan, right? Loan. Loan means must repay back, right? Where to get so much money to pay back? I say, Lord, you must help me. Amazingly, you know, so amazing. When I actually first went to the full-time ministry, I didn't want to collect a salary from the church because my church was very poor. I told my pastor, no, I just want to serve. My pastor kept on pressuring me to take the pay. I said, no. Until finally, I said, okay. And that was the year the KL Church was bought. So I used every month the payment to pay back the loan. You know, amazingly, in 4 years' time, we clear up that loan, you know. We clear up. Where the money came from is from God. I don't know where the rest of the money came from. It came from God. So I shared with my sons and said, look, my God is real. My God is real. I am believing in a real God. And if you believe Him, He's real to you too. Because He's the same God. They saw the reality of God in my life. They believe. So you have to experience the reality of God yourself. Then you tell your children, my God is real. He is great. He can do this for me. You know? He will not fail me. He will not fail you. Okay? Drum into them. God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants you to stay with Him in heaven. You see the joy when you come to accept Jesus as your Savior. You know your family is complete when you go to heaven. The Lord won't ask you, where's the little one? He's not here. Or where's the elder one? He's not here. You know? What are you going to say to the Lord when you don't bring all your children back home to Him? Because He gave them to us to be trained for Him, to be used for Him. And if they are not saved, how can they be used of God? Okay? So if you are sitting here today, if you are not a child of God, God cannot use you in any way. You must become a child of His. It's very easy to accept. The only thing is that you must believe. You must believe that God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. You must believe that. And you must believe that you cannot save yourself. That only Christ can save you. And if you believe that, you come to Him and tell God, I'm a sinner. I thank You, You love me and send Your Son to die for me. I believe, I accept Him as my Savior. If you believe in your heart and make confession with your mouth, the Bible says you are saved. It's that simple. Okay? Don't say, wait until I become better, then I'll be a Christian. I tell you this, you'll never become better, you'll become worse. Because the Bible says in the last days, man shall become worse and worse. And we are living in the last days. See? We see a lot of terrible things around us. The corruptions, the killings, the violence. You know. Are people getting better? No. So you won't get better. Today is the day. Today is the acceptable day. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Believe. You never know when you're going to pass away. When you're going to end your life. When God is going to take you out of this world. You never know. You may be very healthy. You may be very strong. God just put His finger upon your heart and it stops beating and you're gone. And eternity awaits. And it's not with God. It's damnation forever. With the devil. So please come and put your trust in Jesus. And tell Him you want to be used of Him. And He will use you. So to the teachers, happy Teacher's Day. To all of you who think you are not a teacher, a happy day to you. If you think you are a teacher, thank God for the opportunity to share the gospel. With the students under your care. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can be a nursery teacher. You can just be an ordinary teacher to somebody. But whatever it is, if you have the opportunity, share the gospel. May God bless His words to our heart and encourage us to go on for Him. The way is tough, yes, but He says, my grace is sufficient for you. God will not fail us. So let us be strengthened by His grace, His love, and believe His word and trust Him and rest in His promise and go on in His strength. The results will come. May God bless us. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to Thee for loving us enough to save us and make us Thy children. Thank You for the jobs that You've given to Thy people, whatever jobs that maybe You put them in different places for different kinds of work. Pray that Your people will not take this as a job but as a ministry, to know that this is Your calling for them, that You have put them to shine for You there. Nobody else could do the job except them. So Lord, we pray that Your grace may rest upon all Your people, whether they be teachers, whether they be clerks, whether they be administrators, or whatever job, Lord, we are doing for You, it is a ministry. I pray that You will bless every hand that does the job. And Lord, may You write these words in their heart, whatever Thy hand findeth to do, do it with all Thy might. And whatever we do, to do it heartily to the Lord and not unto men. So bless Thy people. Bless Reverend Lim as he is overseeing, that Thou will watch over him and take care of him and provide his needs and bring him back safely to the midst of Your people again, that he may minister to the needs of Your people. And bless Your people, prepare our hearts as we come for the Lord's Supper, that we may be found acceptable unto Thee. Thank You. We pray in us all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.